And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Patty, and today we're going to talk about meaningful apologies. It's the art of being able to apologize, and I want to teach you what that's about. It's different than what you think, and I want to give you the underlying reasons of why people are either good at it or not good at it. And by the end of the show, I want to give you the skills for how you can apologize in a meaningful and sincere manner, because you need to know something. Someone who is an excellent person at apologies, and I mean in a good way, not excessively so, not too much of it, they build intimacy in their relationships. So let's go back to why I wanted to do this show today. I'm in my private practice. I often listen to what people are going through, and I tend to find a theme of during the week. Maybe it's me that I'm thinking about it. I don't know, but I will see several times in my office, wow, I keep seeing this issue. I need to do a show on this. So this week in the office, a couple of different times, I saw the big, huge issue with couples about how apologies work or do not work in their relationship and how harmful it is to their closeness, their trust for each other, and their intimacy. Let me give you an example. Let's take a real simple little type example. Let's say husband calls wife. We'll not make it sexist, right? Husband calls wife and says, I'm cooking dinner and I'm missing a key ingredient. Can you stop on your way home from work and get it because it's going to really mess up my dinner? And she says, sure, no problem. I'll get it on the way home. Well, she comes walking in the house and he goes, okay, where's the thing I needed? And she goes, oh, well, called me right as I was walking out the door, and you know what? I had my hands full. I couldn't write it down. It's been a crazy day. The phone was ringing. I get in the car. My phone wouldn't hook up to the car, and I was messing with the Bluetooth, and I just didn't get it. And do you really need it? Come on. You don't have to have it, do you? Well, what did he feel like? And what's he supposed to say? Is he supposed to go, I'll go out and get it and come back? Or is he supposed to say, okay, it doesn't matter if it messes up my dinner? It left him standing there holding the bag. And the bag was, if I am not gracious, I don't look like I'm understanding that she's had a rough day. If I get irritated and upset, then I look like the idiot or the bad guy. And so he's standing there staring at her and doesn't quite know what to say. And she goes off on kind of a tantrum, telling him why it wasn't her fault and why it was his fault, actually. So how close do you think they felt when that was all over? Not very. In fact, dinner was pretty ruined, and the whole tension that was between them was kind of nasty. So I think that could happen to any of us, don't you? I mean, as you're walking out the door from work and you're busy and you've had a rough day and you're trying to remember and all you want to do is get home and you're trying to remember, stop at the store. That's not even the point. The issue is what she said when she walked in and she hadn't done what she said she was going to do. By the end of the show, you'll know a better way for her to have handled that. Now, let's look at something a little more heavy. This is another example that happened. A couple said, we fight about all sorts of stupid things. And I said, well, like what? And they said, anything, you know, from a big thing to a little thing. And I said, well, what's kind of a medium thing that's happened to you? Give me an example. And I want you to understand this. When I'm dealing with a couple in therapy, I kind of don't care what they're talking about, the content of their argument. What's the title of their argument? I don't really care. What I care about is the process of that argument, how they did the communication. So I asked them to come up with a what. What did you fight about recently? And the wife goes, I have a perfect example. And she looks at him, gives him that look, kind of sideways. And he goes, oh. And she said, we were paying bills about 6 weeks ago or so, and we paid the property taxes, and I was going to stick them in the mail. And he said, no, I'll just drive them down to the property tax office. And so he takes the envelope, and he's going to hand deliver them. And I said, okay, cool. He's going to do that. Well, last week we get a notice from the property tax people that the property taxes are late and there's a fine. And I looked at him and said, you were going to hand deliver them. They must have them. And he started having a total wobbly. Well, it's not my fault. I got to go find it. So he goes out to his truck and looks, and it's the envelope had slipped down between his seats. And he totally forgot about it. So the property taxes didn't get paid, and it was kind of a hefty chunk for a fine. And she was not happy. And he just had a wobbly and said, it's not my fault. I have too much to do, and we should have just mailed it. And why didn't you just stick a stamp on it? Well, you said you were going to hand deliver it. And he said, well, you should know that that's not easy. And they had a big fight about it, a big, huge fight about it, fueled by the irritation about the money, fueled by he promised to do something and he didn't, fueled by her feeling like she can't trust him to do the things he says because he's not real meticulous. Then she felt fooled and kind of silly because she said, I should have known he wouldn't be responsible with that. I should never have trusted him with it. So it's kind of like a medium fight, right? It's not like life or death, but it's irritating and expensive and unnecessary. That's my favorite theme word, unnecessary. And it's just kind of irritating. So here's the thing I want you to stop and take a look at. How close did that couple feel after that argument? Not very close, right? And the whole issue about it is, what happens when you mess up? How do you apologize? Because we often think that apologizing can indicate weakness and vulnerability. But what's really interesting is apologizing does not indicate weakness. Not being able to apologize indicates weakness. Because people who can't apologize often have low self-esteem. The shame of admitting that they're wrong is often too much for their psyche to handle. So you have to understand that the ability to apologize and figure out that you've made a mistake, or you need to take responsibility for something that happened, or that you caused harm, whether emotional or physical or monetary harm to somebody else because of a mistake or a problem that you created, the ability to recognize that and to stand up for your mistake is directly related to how much self-esteem you have. Here's the other thing, too. We often want our kids to apologize or to, you know, say that they made a mistake and fix it. But what have you been modeling for your children? Are you good at apologizing? Do you know how? Do you avoid? Do you blame others? Is it always everyone else's fault and not yours? Do you make excuses? Do you dance all around making sure that everybody knows it wasn't your fault and you didn't do it? Are those the first words out of your mouth? I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault. You need to understand that the ability to own your mistakes is directly related to self-esteem. And I'm going to teach you throughout the show how that happens. And by the end of this show, I want you to be able to be an ace at meaningful apologies. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you more about people who cannot apologize.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Fly nonstop from Reading to Las Vegas for as low as $39 one way with Avelo Airlines. Feeling like that weekend getaway? You can be in Vegas by lunch and enjoy all that Las Vegas has to offer. Great food, entertainment, and fun. Don't forget about those Raiders games this fall. With small lines and easy parking, flying from Reading with Avelo just got a whole lot better with flights to Vegas. Say hello to Avelo and book direct now at AveloAir.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you are listening to the incredibly beautiful Native American music of Randy McGinnis. Randy is Cherokee Native American, speaks fluent Cherokee, and has won countless awards for Native American music. He was the Native American Flutist of the Year in 2017 and the Lifetime Achievement Award in 2019. He has 6 CDs. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all 6 of his CDs. They're all different and they're all stunningly beautiful. They will help you relax and calm. In fact, Randy is one of the calmest people I have ever known in my life. So thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your beautiful music on Therapy in a Nutshell. We deeply appreciate it. Okay, everybody, we're talking about meaningful apologies. And in this section, I want to talk about the people that can't apologize, that cannot apologize. Or if they do, they really suck at it. And then in section 3 of the show, I want to talk to you about the person who is an excessive apologizer, someone who apologizes way too much. That can be annoying also. But I want to talk about why that happens. And then by the 4th section of the show, I want to teach you how to effectively apologize in a meaningful and sincere manner. Okay, so let's talk about the person who can't apologize. Not being able to say, I messed up, I'm sorry, I did that, you know, all the things that you need to do to form a meaningful apology, is based on shame and guilt. It's based in low self-esteem and low self-worth. So it's a fragile sense of self for the person who says, it's not my fault, I didn't do it, and they do this thing that I call yabbit yous. Yabbit yous are where you did it, you made the mistake. Like, let's take the example of the husband that messed up walking the property taxes into the county. Instead of him going, oh, I totally messed up, and really just saying he made a mistake, he said, you shouldn't have given it to me. Yeah, but you've messed up bills in the past. That is a yeah, but you. Okay? Yeah, but you do. Or yeah, but you've done that before. That is an attempt to shift the blame off of self and onto somebody else. And the reason that happens is because the person who's not accepting blame and not admitting that they've made a mistake, has an inability to be vulnerable. It's much easier to blame other people and be in denial to protect their fragile self-esteem. So those of you couples, I make a lot of couples listen to my podcast. So those of you that are listening to this and one of you is poking the other one going, see, listen to her. This is what happens to us when you can't apologize. And there's even just hearing that right now, the person who has trouble apologizing is going to be saying, she's telling me I have low self-esteem, and that's not going to be really nice. They're not going to like that. Because somebody that has a vulnerable sense of self and a fragile sense of self has a very difficult time admitting that, because they want to get big and blustery and powerful and deflect blame off of themselves onto somebody else, because they want the outside world to say, oh, it's not his fault. She shouldn't have handed him the envelope to take to the tax person, the tax, you know, whatever it's called, the county place. Even though he said he was going to do it, poor him, she did that to him. And that's what happens when you're blaming others. So the person who has difficulty apologizing has difficulty separating actions from character. If I made a mistake and I admit I made a mistake, then you're going to see me as less than. Now, remember that that low self-esteem and that inability to apologize is based in that guilt and shame. Remember that guilt makes people feel badly for something that they've done. And shame makes them feel badly about who they are. So this guy didn't take the taxes in. They got a fine and a penalty, and it was embarrassing. And more importantly, she counted on him to do something he said he was going to do, and he didn't do it. So he felt guilty for that. And he cared about the fine and the penalty and all that, too. He didn't like that. But he felt guilty. And then he felt shame for saying he would do something and he didn't. And instead of being able to just hold that shame, you guys hear me talk about hold the dog poop? Just, that's a nasty thing he had to hold in his hands. And instead of him just being able to hold that without smearing it all over himself or throwing it on somebody else and blaming them, he just didn't know how to handle it. Literally, didn't know how to handle it. So not being able to say what happened and that he was to blame for the mistake and it was his fault, not being able to admit to those kind of things, was an attempt to not feel badly. Now, here's what's really important. How do you think that worked for him? When he was kind of having a wobbly and stomping around and trying to blame her and leaving her holding the bag for either sucking it up and being quiet because she didn't want to incur any more of his wrath, or getting in a yelling match with him and blaming him and making him feel worse, or trying to fix it herself, or placating him, oh, it's okay, it's only a few hundred dollars of a fine, it's all right, don't worry about it, it's not that big of a deal. Placating him so that he would feel okay. Everybody's dancing around doing unhealthy things. Do you catch that? And what's most important here, you guys, is the intimacy between the two of them. Their connection, their trust of each other, their ability to rely on each other for things they say they're going to do or not do is messed up. I wouldn't say necessarily destroyed, although when this happens over and over and over again in a relationship, it destroys the trust and the intimacy. It pulls people away from each other. And I'm pausing there on purpose. I want you to stop and think, if I have an inability to apologize, how am I harming my relationships with those around me? Let's take another example. Most parents can look at their teenagers. Teenager comes in an hour late. You told him to be home at 10. He comes moseying in at 11 o'clock, and he looks at you like, what? And you're yelling and telling him he's disrespectful, and he promised and he said he would be home on time, and now you're mad and now you have to have consequences, and you're going to take his phone away and you're going to ground him from his vehicle and blah, 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 blah. And you're mad. And one of the things you're mad about is he didn't own his bad behavior. He didn't walk in and say, "Oh, I'm an hour late and I apologize and I don't have a good excuse. I lost track of time." He didn't come in and talk about what happened. He came in with an attitude and was basically blaming his parents for being inconsiderate to make him come home at such a horrible hours, 10 o'clock on a school night. All right? Hear the difference? That same parent who couldn't own it about paying the taxes late might fully expect his teenage son to be able to come home and apologize for being an hour late and own his irresponsible behavior. What's the chance of your teenager being able to do meaningful, sincere, and effective apologies if they don't have it modeled for them by their parents? Let me tell you another good story here. I was dealing with a dad who has a single dad with two teenage kids, and he was talking to me the other day about how he sits his kids down and he says, "Look, if you disagree with me, if you're angry at me, if you don't like a decision I've made, you are welcome to sit down and talk to me about it. If I've made a mistake or I'm being unfair, I will look at it and I will apologize and we'll fix it. Now, just because you don't like my decision doesn't mean I will necessarily change it, but I will always listen to what you have to say about it. And I'm quite capable of owning it if I make a mistake and making things right." That's what we're talking about here. Can you sit down with your kids and model for them how to listen, how to communicate, how to stop and look at your own behavior and reevaluate, get their input? It doesn't mean necessarily that they can change the outcome of your decision, but the message that you give them that you matter and your communication with me matters. And the other message, if I have messed up, I can fix it. I will own it. I will tell you I've made a mistake. That's how we model for our kids how to be good communicators and how to be able to apologize. That's the beginning of this. And then when we give them the executable skills that I'm going to give you by the end of this show to apologize in a meaningful, sincere, and effective manner, you will have paved the way for your kids to be successful in this world, to have successful relationships, to do well in a job, and to elevate their personal responsibility to a level where they are accountable for their actions. People like that. People like you when you are accountable for your actions. So let's go back to, just briefly before we go to break here, if you can't apologize, or someone you know cannot apologize, underneath that inability to own their own behavior and to make it right and to do the things that create an effective and meaningful apology are based on that fragile sense of self. The inability to be vulnerable, to handle the shame and the guilt of having made a mistake, the strength to not blame everyone around you in an attempt to make yourself feel better. Those are all really, really important things. And you need to recognize that the person who is not capable of an effective apology either doesn't know how or has a whole lot of habit energy. Habit energy is where we do things over and over and over again, and we have a whole lot of energy behind doing it a certain way. So they have a whole lot of habit energy around not owning their behavior. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what excessive apologizers look like and why that happens. But stick with us to the end of the show, because by the end, I'm going to teach you how to effectively give a meaningful apology. We'll be back in a minute.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
It looks like spring. The time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. Beautiful music of Randy McGinnis. Beautiful man, beautiful music. Thank you, Randy, for letting us use your music. Okay, we're talking about meaningful apologies. Let's talk about the person who excessively apologizes. It's really interesting when you hear somebody do that. And I'm not talking about somebody that just, you know, I'm sorry, you know, and then they kind of stop. The people that excessively apologize often do so a lot. I want to say kind of ad nauseum. Sometimes it's, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And you're like, okay, give it a rest here. The excessive apologizer is usually trying to project something else than their mistake. And it's often that they're trying to project kindness or empathy, like, I see that hurt your feelings or that was a bad thing. They're often people-pleasing. And it's based on the fear of rejection and abandonment. So it's an underlying fear of, if I hurt you or make you mad or cause you harm in some way, you're not going to like me, and you're going to reject me. And if you don't like me and reject me, then you're going to abandon me. So the fear of rejection is often the fear of abandonment. But excessive apologizers will often apologize to people they don't even know. So are they fearing rejection from someone they don't even know, or fearing that the grocery store clerk's going to abandon them? Probably not. But what happens is the fear of rejection and not being worthy and not being liked creates that habit energy, the habit of excessively apologizing for anything and everything. And I've had people in my office do this a lot. So, like, let's say it's raining outside and they're going, oh, I'm so sorry you got wet. Or, I'm sorry it's raining outside. I'm sorry you forgot your umbrella. The kind of things they apologize for make you want to stop and look at them sometimes. Are they people-pleasing? Are they trying to look real empathetic? Is it just a bad habit? Some people excessively apologize over fear of conflict. It's an uncomfortable situation. They recognize that they've hurt someone's feelings or they've created harm to somebody, and they don't know how to handle the conflict or the uncomfortable situation, so they start apologizing in an attempt to diffuse the negativity around the situation. It's an attempt to gain control. Let's take an example. This is something that I was dealing with, a woman who was talking about how she feels so weak a lot. And what she said is, I just feel like I don't have the right to exist, like something's wrong with me. And as we were talking about examples, one of them stood out. She said that if she gets served something incorrectly in a restaurant, like let's say she orders a hamburger, no cheese, not a cheeseburger, a hamburger, and it comes with cheese on it, and she's lactose intolerant. She cannot say to a server, there's something wrong with my order, or this is not what I ordered. If she did do that, she'd start saying, I'm sorry, oh, I'm terribly sorry. And that actually would be a step up from what she actually does. She will eat the hamburger with the cheese on it and suffer the stomach ache because she's lactose intolerant. Because she doesn't want to make a scene or create conflict or make the server or the cook feel badly for making a mistake. So she takes care of them to the detriment of her. That actually is my definition of codependency, by the way. Caring for others to the detriment of you. So it was a step up in the right direction for what she thought when she could say to a server, I'm so sorry. This hamburger has cheese on it and I just can't eat it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, I feel really badly that this, I just can't eat this cheeseburger because I can't have cheese. I'm sorry. She probably said I'm sorry 30 times. And she's explaining this to me. And I thought, she has no idea how to handle this conflict. She doesn't feel worthy of stepping up and saying what's going on in her head. And she didn't have the words to do this in any kind of effective manner. So her fear of conflict was huge. Her feeling that she was going to create harm or embarrassment or difficulty for someone else was beyond what she could handle in her own head. So some of it was that she didn't feel she was worthy. I mean, some of the therapeutic issues were she didn't really feel worthy to walk the planet. She felt very unworthy, and there were a whole lot of underlying reasons for that. But it manifests itself in how she dealt with her world. So we started talking about how she excessively apologized, and she said she apologized to anybody and everybody all the time. And I kind of said, how many times a day do you think you say I'm sorry? And she came up with 25 to 50 times a day. She's probably telling people she's sorry for something, for anything. She said it just comes out of her mouth all the time. So we talked about the habit energy around that and how she was so used to saying it that it popped out of her mouth. So one of the things that I taught her, and I've taught other people who excessively apologize, is changing the wording. So instead of saying to the server, I'm so sorry this hamburger has cheese on it, I can't eat it, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Instead of saying that, use a different word. Like, excuse me, there's a problem with my order. I ordered a hamburger and I got a cheeseburger and I can't have the cheese. This is so unfortunate, but can we fix this, please? Can you fix this, please? It changes the wording from I'm sorry to excuse me, there's a problem with my order. Right? You're still being polite. You're not being aggressive and mean and nasty and you're not having a wobbly. But you're not apologizing for something that was not your error, okay? So changing the wording from I'm sorry to something else is a really good way to start. let's say you're taking too long to get out the door, and you're apologizing to everybody. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry. Just a minute. I have to get my purse. I'm sorry. Oh, I forgot my cell phone. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Let me run back in and get my cell phone. I'm sorry. Instead of apologizing all over the place, try changing it to what's really going on. Thank you so much for being patient. I realize I'm taking a long time to get out the door, and I appreciate your patience. Thank you. Do you hear the difference between begging and pleading, don't hate me, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, to what you're really saying is saying your behavior, I'm taking a long time to get out the door. I appreciate you being patient. Thank you so much. So we're changing the words, I'm sorry, to something more accurate. Thank you, or excuse me, can I talk to you about a problem here? Or, unfortunately, this isn't going to work, instead of, I'm sorry. Okay? When you're saying I'm sorry too much, you stop and say, why am I making this my fault? How does that serve me for me to start apologizing all over the place? There's one person I know who I dearly love who apologizes way too much. And when she listens to this, she's going to know exactly who she is. She knows she is the light of my life, and I love her dearly. And she apologizes all over the place, all the time. And interspersed in the middle of her I'm sorry's, she'll sometimes say, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Are you mad at me? And so I often stop and say, stop for a minute. Why do you think I might be mad at you? Why are you worried that you're making me angry? And why are you apologizing? I think this show is going to help her a lot because she's going to see that that unnecessary behavior of excessively apologizing is not effective, and it's not a good way to get people to respect you or like you more or feel the fact that you are kind and empathetic and a caring person. You can be all those things by being more precise with your words. Instead of saying, I'm sorry for something you did not do, or was not your mistake, or not a harm that you created, say what you're really feeling. I appreciate, or unfortunately this won't work, or excuse me, there's a problem here. Those are more accurate wordings instead of, I'm sorry the cheeseburger isn't something I can eat, or I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm taking so long. Okay? I'm sorry, I forgot my phone inside. Okay? Try, oh, unfortunately, I left my cell phone in there. I need to go get it. Thank you so much for being patient. I realize I'm taking a long time to get out the door here. Okay? It's kind of the same sort of flavor of I'm getting it that I'm creating a problem here, and I am telling you I recognize that without excessively apologizing. Now, would it maybe be appropriate to say, I'm taking a long time to get out the door, and I apologize? Yes. I always have remembered that when my daughter Tara was in the United States Navy, when she was in boot camp, she taught me that they taught her that you don't say, I'm sorry. You say, I apologize. The Navy told them when they were in boot camp, if you say, I'm sorry, you're telling me you are a sorry person, that you are not worthy and that you are not a strong individual. If you've made a mistake, then you say, I apologize. I apologize. I made an error. I apologize. I made a mistake. I apologize for being late. Not, I'm a sorry individual who was late. I apologize. And I remember that being an eye-opener for me because I kind of interspersed I apologize or I'm sorry, and I never really thought about the difference. But I started to shift that in my life. And instead of saying I'm sorry when I was apologizing for something, I would say, I apologize that I did this. I apologize that I hurt your feelings. I apologize that I was late. Or, in the case of this morning, I'm apologize I called too early and woke you up. It's important and a positive, very communicative way for us to begin a meaningful apology. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I am going to teach you guys how to be really, really effective in your meaningful and sincere apologies. We'll be back in a minute.
RC from Tobacco and Brew here, introducing this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Perla del Mar, a gem of a smoke. The Perla del Mar features special, hand-selected, aged binder and long filler from four distinct regions of Nicaragua. Smooth, lush flavor with a complex but balanced smoking experience. Perla del Mar. Get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, featuring mouth-watering sandwiches, French dip, Philly, tri-tip, New York steak, tri-nami, a combination of tri-tip and pastrami. Bite into a mouthful of flavor with a peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger or the jalapeno bacon ranch burger. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Our food speaks for itself. Call 530-691-4333. That's 530-691-4333. Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. And we are talking about meaningful apologies. So get your pen and paper out. I want to teach you how to effectively give a meaningful and sincere apology. And the reason I want you to write it down is because you're going to start checking yourself. After you've apologized for something, I want you to check to see if you did it in an effective manner. And if you didn't, then the next time I want you to try and do it a little better. The other thing is I want you to be so clear about this that you can model it for your kids and your grandkids. You can model it for your employees. You can improve your relationship with your significant other by learning how to be an effective apologizer. Okay, so something has happened and you need to apologize for it. You've either hurt someone's feelings, or you've made a mistake, or you meant to do something and you forgot, or you were late, or you cost somebody time and money, or you inadvertently said something, you were trying to make a joke and you hurt their feelings, okay? Things happen, right? That's called life. It gets really messy. So one of the first things that you're going to do is you're going to own it. You're going to own it. That you made a mistake or that you hurt somebody. When you own it, you do it without hesitation and without mitigation. That's a big word for you're not going to minimize it. And you're not going to stick on any yeah but yous. Okay? So you're not going to say how it wasn't your fault or how they've done that to you before, or you're not the only one who has this problem, or they can't take a joke, that's why your dumb little sarcastic comment hurt their feelings, and they're overly sensitive. You're not going to minimize it or mitigate it or downplay it. You're going to own it, okay? Owning it is the thing that I probably teach in my office as much as anything, because so many people have no clue how to own their own behavior. Right? So without hesitation, you're going to own it. Now, when you own something that you've done wrong or hurt someone's feelings or cost them time and money, whatever, you're going to be specific to the issue. Okay? If you were the waitress who brought the hamburger with cheese on it, the waitress owning it would say to the customer, "I apologize. You did say a hamburger with no cheese, and I didn't write it down on the ticket, and the cook didn't see it. This is my error, and I apologize. I will make this right away," and takes the hamburger back to fix it. Okay? So it's without hesitation. There's no blame. The waitress didn't throw in there, "It was so loud in here, I couldn't hear you," or, "I was writing your friend's order when you said it." She didn't say anything like that. The waitress owned it that she made an error. In owning the issue, then you are specific to the harm that was caused. Okay? So let's say you made a sarcastic joke and you inadvertently hurt someone's feelings and you kind of saw the crushed look on their face and you said, "Oh, there's that sarcasm of mine. I apologize that every once in a while my sense of humor gets out of control and I inadvertently hurt someone and I did not mean to hurt your feelings." So you are specific to the cause. "My sarcastic sense of humor hurt your feelings and I apologize." Okay? There's no blaming others. There's no softening it like it wasn't your fault or giving some kind of weird excuse. Okay? And it is specific to the issue. Then, in your apology, you're going to talk about how you need to learn from your mistake. Okay? And that can be the hard part. It might be as simple as saying, "I need to work on that." Or, "You know, I won't do that again. I have got to get better at double-checking or curbing down my sarcastic sense of humor," or whatever. So first you own it, and then you say what you're going to do about it. Okay? Like, for example, let's say you're always late. There are people that are always late. All right? And you walk in and you own it. "I apologize. I am late. I have a problem with being late, and I have got to work on it. Because I realize that it shows disrespect for the people that I'm late. And I don't want to show disrespect. And I apologize that my behavior did that. And I'm telling you guys, I'm working on this and trying to fix it." Okay? Then what happens is you're going to make amends. So first you're going to own it. You're going to state how you're learning from it. And then you're going to make amends. You're going to make it right. When you make amends, it might be as simple as saying, "Please forgive me." Right? It might be that you have to pay for it, or you have to fix it if you broke it, or you have to say, "Let me fix my error." Let's go back to the wife who said she was going to pick up a special ingredient for the dinner that the husband was cooking. She walks in the house. She messes up. He says, "Did you bring the..." Whatever it was, I think it was a spice. "Did you bring the stuff? Oh, God, you called me right when I was walking out the door, blah, blah, blah," and she made all kinds of excuses. Let's rewind that. She walks in the door and goes, "Oh, I totally forgot to stop at the store. I apologize. Oh, I truly meant to do it, and I drove right past the store. It is my error. I am going right back out right now and get what you need." "No, no, you don't have to go get it. I'll just won't taste the same." "No, it is my error. I take full responsibility for being an airhead here, and I'm going to go make it right. I'll be right back." Do you hear the difference in owning it, stating the apology, and making the amends to make it right? Okay? Sometimes amends can't be made. Say you hurt somebody's feelings because you've got that kind of witty, nasty, sarcastic sense of humor that tends to tease people about stuff that's sort of real, right? Like they've got kind of a big nose, and you tease them about big nose people, and then you see the crushed look on their face. Sometimes you can't take it back and make it right. You can only acknowledge and own it that you did something sarcastic and harmful. You can learn from it. You can say, I really need to work on curbing my sarcastic sense of humor. And maybe the only way you can make amends is to apologize and say, please forgive me. I deeply apologize. I care about you so much, and I would never purposely hurt your feelings. I apologize. All right. That's how you make an effective and sincere, a meaningful apology. You own it, you learn from it, and you make amends. So let's go back to the couple when he forgot to take the property tax payment into the county. They figure out, the letter comes, and he goes, oh, no. And he goes out to his truck, and he finds where the envelope fell in between the seats. And he comes back in, and he goes, here's the envelope. This is totally my bad. Ah, I feel horrible. I said I would take this into the county. I messed this up. And it's cost us several hundred dollars in a fine. And I deeply apologize. This is my error. And I don't know how I can make this right. The only thing we can do is eat it. But what I can do is I can drive this down to the county tomorrow, and I can tell them I made an error. And his wife looks at him and says, I appreciate you owning it, and I appreciate your apology. And you know what? We all make mistakes, and stuff happens, and let's just learn from this. And next time we won't hand walk it in. We'll make sure we do it right then, stick a stamp on it, put it right in the mailbox. Okay? Yeah, deal. I appreciate you owning it. It gives me a lot of respect for you that you recognize that it was your error. Yeah, it was mine, and I have to, you know, bite the bullet that we ended up paying several hundred dollars that we didn't need to pay. Listen to the intimacy building of that conversation, as opposed to the blame and the anger and the distancing that happened between that couple when they did fight about how he messed up taking it into the county. So I want you to really catch how effective, sincere apologies, meaningful apologies, build intimacy. And here's a side benefit. Your self-esteem will actually raise. You won't be weaker. You will be stronger. Because a confident, caring, self-esteemed individual is capable of owning their mistakes and capable of doing what they have to do to make amends, to make it right. Whether it's a sincere apology and please forgive me, to paying for it or fixing it, or doing what you need to do to fix your error. You follow that? I can't tell you how many times, if I've made a mistake, like, for example, a massage therapist that I see every once in a while, I have messed up a point. I've seen this person for probably 30 years. I have messed up maybe two or three appointments in that long a time, and I show up and pay for the appointment. And I've had that person look at me and go, I think you're the only person that ever does this. And I say, hey, my error cost you money. That is not yours to pay for. And I hand them the check for the massage because I screwed up an appointment. I rarely screw up appointments because I'm kind of a type A T-crosser, I-dotter person. But if I did screw up, I go and I show up and I say, I apologize. That was my error. And here's check for the massage because you lost out that time and could have filled it with someone else. And I mean, the person sits there with their mouth open. But I do that because I feel better about correcting my error and my mistake and someone else not paying for what I did. And then I let it go. I owned it. I apologized. I learned from it. And I made amends. And then I let it go. I don't need to beat myself up about it anymore. So you need to know, if it's not yours to apologize for, if you didn't do it, don't apologize. You can't control the universe by making it your fault, right? You can't apologize for what other people do. It's okay for you to exist in this world. It's okay for you to be who you are. You don't need to apologize for your appearance, your weight, your clothes. Just be you and know that you are worth being on this planet. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. You can find my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell, on any podcast forum. Thank you for tuning in today. I just want to help heal the world. One